All right, so we're here with Clark Merritt. He is the now port director. I think this is our first interview with you since becoming director. So first of all, congratulations.
Wow, thanks, Andrew. It is. It is.
Are you enjoying it?
Every day is fun. Every day is fun. No, that's good. We got a great team down here, and we enjoy what we do. So
let's talk through some of the things that are going on at the port, because you know it was a couple of years since I came down here and did a tour, and loved all the different things that are happening here. But for people who maybe aren't quite as familiar, one of the big obvious things is you see that big blue boat, the Jacqueline, and that is going to be a Blue Origin rocket recovery vehicle, right?
Correct. Blue Origin is Jeff Bezos' company. They purchased that vessel several years ago. It was a cargo vessel. And it's going to be turned into they're calling it the landing platform vessel. And it will catch the booster stage for the New Glenn rocket, the big boosters. It's huge.
So the rocket will land on that platform.
Right. Very similar to the way SpaceX does their recoveries on the barges. This vessel, they tell us, will be underway, and it will catch the big stage out there in the Atlantic.
Okay. Yep. So this is not destined for Gulf activity primarily. It is primarily intended for the Atlantic, even though it's going through the refurbishment here.
Right. Not that they've told us.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. they are pretty tight-lipped.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Very good. You've also got, and you mentioned it during the press conference, the Streamline Boat Project, which has been hampered 100% because of Sally, right? I mean, otherwise they'd basically be operating now, right?
They would be very close to being open, right? We executed the lease, and then 2 weeks later, Sally hit and really, really decimated that building, and it had to be basically stripped down to its bones, tightened up, and now we finally have the slab done in there, and construction should go pretty quickly now. They'll be able to put the siding on it and then finish it out. And so I think they're optimistic that by this time next year, they'll be making boats.
And they have been just clamoring to have a facility because they say they have so much demand for their boats that they can't make them fast enough. And if people are driving by, that's the big skeleton warehouse as you see out on the port.
Bayfront.
And
correct.
You're saying next year it's going to be like 60 people at first employed?
They're going to ramp up to what they told us initially was about 60 folks, technicians fabricating the boats.
Okay.
Laying the fiberglass, doing the electronics fit out, everything that goes into making those boats. It's a semi-custom boat, so the customer can spec it out the way they like, and then they make it. It's delivered. Streamline has told us that they have years of backlog.
Okay.
So it's going to be a busy place right out of the gate.
Now, we're into middle November right now. I can't remember what time they normally come, but is American Magic coming back this year, or do we know yet?
So we don't know. American Magic, until they determine where the cup is going to be held, if it's in the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere, that will dictate where American Magic ends up having their training facility.
Okay.
So we would love to have them back, but no decision's been made yet.
I gotcha. And as people may not realize, there are oysters that get grown here, right? It's a smaller footprint of an operation, but Donnie McMahon's oyster farm has really been here for several years, and after a few setbacks and weather and Sally hurt everybody, they're back up and running too, right?
Correct. They are actively growing right now. The little spat, I think they're called, by the time they're done, and they transfer those or sell those and put them in the cages out in Pensacola Bay that you've seen before. But they are up and running. It's, as you said, it's kind of a nondescript small footprint.
Right.
But they're accomplishing great things over there.
Everybody sees the nacelles. Everybody sees the GE turbine pieces going up and down various roads and on the railroads and everything else. But I bet there are people who don't really understand where things go, where they come from. Just maybe give them a 30-second, 45-second overview of what does the port do with regards to these GE turbine pieces?
At one point, we will touch every one of the nacelles that comes through Pensacola. Either it's being manufactured at the Scenic Highway facility where they have limited laydown space, more recently we've been importing completed nacelles from GE's facility in Brazil. And then over the past year and a half, we've been importing the internal cast big components
Okay.
that go end up going to the scenic highway facility where they get turned into the completed nacelle. So the whole start and finish can either begin, it can begin here or end here.
Okay.
And Pate Stevedore has been handling these nacelles for over 15 years, I think it is. And you're right, you've seen them go out on train, but they're an expert handler. GE is very happy. You know, in some respect, they couldn't have their facility here if they didn't have the Port of Pensacola to A, save money on importing their components, B, when they used to export nacelles to foreign countries, if they win those contracts, they would bring the vessel in here and they could export, which was done several years ago. But that's it. It's a big part of our business, major part of this business.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you about, or maybe one more, we'll see. You know, I always have questions.
Yeah.
But you revealed during the press conference today something that I just found stunning. So imports of C-Mex, the cement mix, are up 50%. They are doing a lot more work here. But they are coming in over a berthing system that is radically reduced in capacity right now because the southern half or the southern frontage of the port berths 2, 4, and 5, 2, 3, and 5,
3, 5, and 6.
3, 5, and 6. Thank you. The easternmost 1, 6 was the oldest, most in need of refurbishment, and that's the only one functioning right now. The other ones, 3 and 4, are damaged from sailing in the process of repair. How in the world are you able to do all the functions, higher capacity, record volume in terms of money, using the worst of the third of the berthing capacity that's even available right now? How is that possible?
So,
do I have it right, basically?
You do, except C-Mex, that's where their warehouse is.
Okay.
So their vessel has to tie in to the warehouse right there at berth 6.
Okay.
So regardless if we had all the other berths open, they still, because it's a vacuum system.
I got it.
Right. Now, the ro-ro vessels that bring in the GE components.
Roll on, roll off.
Roll on, roll off, correct. They, we used to offload them to the berths that were damaged during Sally.
Okay.
So because of the Sally damage and the repair project, we've had to slide those operations to the east and utilize berth 6. So it has been a very tight scheduling setup.
Okay.
So we really have to coordinate with C-Mex, with GE, and then with other users that might want to come and use a berth to do whatever they're trying to do. So it's a very finicky, it's a very razor thin line there that we have to work.
Anything last words? Anything else you want to let people know about? They might have heard of the port study that was done a couple of years ago, and what's the future of the port? Or just anything that you want to highlight? You know, other than your secret hiding place for the Pensacola Pelican that we don't get to see anymore. Anything else you want to let us know about, Clark?
Andrew, I tell you what, this is a busy place. It's the busiest since I've been here. We've got probably 150 to 175 people out here every day, full-time jobs. Many of them are on the Jacklin, but many of them are loading and unloading these GE products. You know, it's a regional asset that people should be proud of. One of Florida's 15 ports, right? Deepwater ports. I mean, we're just as viable as a Port Miami or Port Tampa Bay or Jacksport. So it's an asset that the citizens should be proud of.
Clark Merritt, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.